pages to Jeremiah. To Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 to verse 16. Jeremiah 23 verse 16 through verse 18. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak with visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? And in verse 32, indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21, as we have been working our way through this letter, Peter has assured his readers that the message of God's prophets of old was certain or true, and that they should pay attention to it. He assures them that the prophets of God gave prophecies that were not from the prophets' minds. Instead, they were from the mind of God. But as he opens his second chapter of 2 Peter, he says in verses 1 through 2, he actually assures that there were these false prophets, as we've just been reading about, that were not of God, both then and in Peter's own time. And so he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, speaking of ancient Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these false teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Peter speaks here of false prophets in the future, but if we follow on down through this chapter in verse 17, he speaks of them as already present. We know from other readings in the New Testament that they were. But Peter's writing early on. Dan Schillinger notes this about these false teachers by saying Peter's use of this term and his description of these false teachers throughout this chapter strongly suggests that it means more than simply someone who happens to teach error out of ignorance of the truth, as someone who is sincerely mistaken. Instead, Peter has in mind those who are morally deficient, and who know full well that what they are doing is purposely trying to mislead others. We'll look more at that later on. You and I who are Christians should expect false teachers to come into the church. That may sound harsh, but it's true, isn't it? We should expect false teachers to come into the church. Jesus warned, as he was teaching, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, the Apostle Paul predicted that some elders would lead Christians astray. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, he tells of false brothers who infiltrated the church in order to spy on their freedom and to enslave them. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, and in verses 13 through 15, Paul writes this. of these false teachers. He says, such men are false prophets or false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Paul writes again in 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, as he writes to this young evangelist, Timothy. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, in verses 3 through 7, he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Later on in chapter 6 of that same letter, and in verses 3 through 5, Paul says to Timothy, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Going back to Peter's writing, the false teachers that he warns of are from within the church. And we know that because it talks about their denial of the sovereign Lord who bought them, that is, who redeemed them from their sins. These have rejected their redemption in favor of earthly values. In fact, the Apostle John told his readers that many false prophets have gone out into the world. For all of those reasons, for all of those scriptures, you and I who are Christians should expect that false teachers would come into the church or would be in the church. It's no wonder that Peter characterizes these heresies as destructive heresies. A heresy is a teaching that is in conflict with God's revealed will and truth. It is a falsehood. It is, as God's word said so very clearly and unapologetically, a lie. Peter says such heresies will bring swift destruction on false teachers. And he talks about that in verse 1 and again in verse 3. And that agrees with Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5 and 9, and chapter 21 and verse 28, where it talks about and assures that punishment will come to those who are false witnesses. Jesus urged in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 through 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Paul warned in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 9, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. He warned and encouraged in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1 and verse 6, on through verse 10, with these words, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you have believed our testimony to you. Over and over in a short space there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Peter drives home this concept of destruction upon those who teach falsehood and upon those who accept falsehood. He speaks of the heresies themselves as being destructive, and we understand why. It brings complete disarray and conflict within Christ's body, the church. It brings confusion as to what the gospel and what Christ's teachings are really all about and aren't all about. It does nothing but bring destruction to the whole purposes of God. Destruction means to demolish, to tear down, to ruin, to bring to nothing, to make useless, to put an end to do away with, to kill, or to neutralize the effect. Any one and all of those fits well with all of these passages that use this term, destruction. In 2 Peter 3, in verses 6 and 10 and 11, Peter speaks of the past and future destruction of the world by God. Peter wants true as well as false Christians to realize that God has the power not only to save those who love and obey him, but also to destroy those who do not. False prophets or false teachers position themselves as leaders. And many who don't know God's truth follow the lies of those false teachers. The Apostle Paul wrote much about this business of false teachers or false prophets. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20, Paul urged Timothy to follow truth, unlike what some had who had shipwrecked their faith. We could just as easily insert that word destroyed themselves, couldn't we? Because that's what that means. To be shipwrecked is to be destroyed. Shipwrecked their faith. They had destroyed their faith. He predicts in chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Paul undoubtedly has in mind here people who are inspired, who have given themselves over to be led by demons, by the workers of Satan. How much that stands in contrast, doesn't it, with what we read about in Galatians chapter 5, when we are urged as Christians to turn ourselves over to be led by the Spirit of God. And yet, here are people who are within Christ's body who have given themselves over to be led by demons. He urges in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, and in verses 13 through 14, saying, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." In chapter 2, and in verses 14 through 18, he calls for Timothy to keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. In chapter 3, in verses 1 through 9, Paul characterizes false teachers as having a form of godliness, yet they deny its power. They oppose the truth. They have depraved minds, Paul says. And he describes their followers as weak-willed, loaded down with sin, swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. In verse 13, he says, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so in chapter 4, in verses 1 through 4, he urges Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Bear in mind, folks, Paul is not writing these things about the world. He's not writing these things about the unchurched. He's not writing these things about sincere but misguided Orthodox Jews. He's writing these things about Christians, about you and I who are Christians. He's putting up this huge beware sign, this huge warning sign, this huge be aware of what's going on and what can go on, of what continues to go on because it always has gone on. There have always been people who for their own purposes, for things that will serve them, will, without any conscience, lead people astray. Peter says that false teachers exhibit or teach shameful ways. The Greek word used for this has to do with vices or immoral sexuality. Followers of such teachings bring this into the church, and they cause the way of truth to be dishonored. And by virtue of that, they dishonor God. You know, when we read in 1 Corinthians about what has been brought to Paul's attention going on there in the church in Corinth, about a man having his father's wife, probably not his mother, probably his stepmother, he talks about this is not even seen amongst the pagans. Now, whether or not that guy just got away with that, whether he thought that was okay, or whether somebody taught him that, we're not given insight into. But Paul makes it very clear. This is unacceptable. This man needs some corrective action now, before, and he'll go on, and we would say, to be that apple that causes everything to be spoiled within the church, before it destroys the church in Corinth. Take care of this now. This is falsehood. We know that when we get over to Revelation, to chapters 2 and 3, and we read these seven letters that Jesus wrote to these seven churches of Asia, he speaks very strongly about false teaching going on within the church that needs to be corrected right now before God removes the lantern or the lampstand of those congregations, the life, if you will, the light of those churches. Edwin Bloom says something about this that's basic and yet it's profound as he talks about this way of truth. He says it is important to understand that the Christian faith is the way of truth. It is not only correct thought or truth, but it is the way of life that responds to and is determined by the truth. True doctrine must issue in true living. The knowledge of God should lead to a godly life. false teachers, as the Old Testament prophets talk about by inspiration of God, as Paul will talk about as he writes to Timothy, even as Peter writes about, are in it for the money. They will exploit people for worldly gain. For centuries in the Middle East, traveling diviners, false prophets, and moral teachers typically charged fees or begged funds. But you and I know that it's not limited to the Middle East any longer. Now it's worldwide. It's worldwide because of the availability of media that allows it to be worldwide, and it's worldwide because it's not just to be found within Christianity, but within every religion. There are people out there who are just in whatever religion for the sake of what it will do for them, for whatever they can get out of it. And we hear every so often about some rather popular television evangelist or whatever kind of evangelist within Christendom who gets nailed by the IRS or by some other group. And it comes to light, they're not really as honest and truthful, as committed to God and to God's word and to God's will, as some had thought. They've got their agenda. They're pursuing things for their own gain. Peter speaks of this condemnation long hanging over such people, and he really is speaking of people that you and I would identify as nothing short of being con men. We don't talk much about false teachers or false prophets today in a larger sense. We just talk about con men, somebody that's trying to sell something that they know is untrue because there's a profit to be made in some manner. In Psalm chapter 1 and verses 5 through 6, David wrote, "The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." That's another term for be destroyed. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 16, the Apostle Paul says teachers are to equip Christians with the truth of God's word, so that we will be spiritually stable, able to discern the truth and reject false teachings. James urges that not many of us should presume to be teachers. It's a reminder to all of us that we need to know the truth before we attempt to teach it to others. How tragic it would be if, in all good conscience, we should, without enough care and preparation, seek to teach the truth and teach falsehood. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Do you know that truth that brings freedom? Because it's from Christ and in Christ. Can we help you to come to know that freedom tonight, right now, by coming forward as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?